Oh, I didn't see you in church. Major thing. I'll tell you about a person I prayed with. I don't know, I tell you about this guy. I was in my evening Bible college classes a couple of years ago. Come to find out he wasn't filled, so I set an appointment to pray with him after class one night. Went in the East Chapel over here, sat in the dark, and asked him why he wasn't filled. He didn't know. So I said, well, what I want you to do, we'll pray. We prayed for it, you know, just to see what would happen, and nothing happened. Just was what I expected. And, you know, he's praying for it. He wasn't praying for it. He was waiting for it. You know, it wasn't going to come that way. I said, well, what I want you to do is speak out in tongues. I just want you to speak out in tongues, and I don't want you to say but. First thing he said was, but. And I said, and I was really pushing this person out. Now consider this. The person had been discouraged, deeply discouraged. He felt that he couldn't get it. It's not for me, type of syndrome has set in. And other people who prayed for him, he hadn't get it. So now I'm the teacher and I'm praying for him. Well, if he doesn't get it when I pray for him, then where does he go from there? To the pastor? And the pastor prays for him and he doesn't get it, and then the Lord himself has to do it. You know, I knew that if he didn't receive it when I prayed for him, he's in for major discouragement again and really would reinforce the old devil's lie that it wasn't for him. So I wasn't going to let that happen. I mean, I was going to force him to receive. I pushed him. I really put the pressure on this guy. And I knew, I felt like, my theory that it's tongues was holding him back. And so I said, well, I want you to speak out in tongues. Don't say any but, just do it. Just do it by faith. In fact, Stiles, in his book, the fellow I told you about, he teaches them with reckless abandon to speak out very loudly in whatever the Lord gives them by sheer audacious faith. Doesn't that put a person on the spot? That's what he tells them to do. And, well, he has a 99% success rate. So, he's able to somehow get them to do that. And he encourages them and so forth. You have to encourage them. You have to really deal gently with them. None of this condemning him, why aren't you filled business. Boy, don't they feel bad enough already. So I pushed this guy. Well, we tried it. I said, all right, when I lay my hand on you and start speaking in tongues, you speak in tongues. So I did that. 3 minutes later, I said, how'd you do? He said, well, I don't know. That's hard. I don't know if I can. I said, I want you to do it by faith. I want you to know the Lord's going to give it to you. Just do it because I'm telling you to. Don't have any faith. Just do it for my faith. See, just do it because I'm telling you to do it. Just be obedient. I'm telling you to speak out in tongues by faith. And I mean, you're going to have to speak out. You're going to have to, you know, it's going to have to sound. You know what I mean? And don't just, you know, I mean, let's hear you speak. And I said, what's going to happen is, potentially, as soon as you start to speak, your mind's going to announce, that's not it, and you'll quit. I said, don't do that. Just keep right on going. Just speak out for about a minute and see what happens. Now, we're in an attitude of prayer now. We're not just, you know, on your mark, go type of stuff. But we're in an attitude of prayer, and I'm praying in tongues, you know, and praying for them and believing, and I'm praying scriptures and I'm praying out in tongues. See, we don't need a whole lot of instruction. I mean, the person already knows all about it. He's been seeking it for a long time. So we did that, and we didn't get that far. We spent about 45 minutes at this. And I pushed him. I really pushed him. And I left him with, he did kind of mumble in tongues a little bit. He just kind of mumble. But see where he was? All he could do is mumble in tongues. He couldn't speak out. I mean, no matter what I do, I couldn't get him to, you know, push it out. He just was really holding back. And I told him, I said, well, can you see how much you're holding back? Now, I want you to go on your way, and you're all by yourself, and I'm not around. I want you to just keep mumbling in tongues until you can speak in tongues. And let it come out, and you tell me how you're doing next week. So next week he comes back, and he said, that was it. That was it. I kept mumbling in tongues, and pretty soon I was speaking in tongues before the week was over, and that was it. Another guy I prayed with, this guy was in deep bondage. Well, 4 years he'd been praying for the Holy Spirit. In the middle of that interval, he took off and went to the Unity Church for a while. And I knew he was discouraged. And I ran into him every now and then. I knew he quit our church and went to the Unity Church because he was just sheer discouragement, a feeling of being out of it. And, you know, what can you say? How can you come to a Pentecostal church? Everybody's singing in tongues all the time. And, you know, you're not. It's tough. I said, well, and I didn't come down on him when he went to the Unity Church. I didn't come down on him. I said, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. Where are you going to church? He goes, Unity Church. Not even saved, you know. Unity Church out here. You know, humanistic stuff. I said, oh, well, how is it? I mean, I know how it is. Totally rotten. I said, oh, how is it? And he said, well, there's a lot of love there. There's a lot of love there. You know, he was needing love. He was discouraged. He was needing love. And we weren't ministering to him probably the way we should have. And I didn't have the time to, and I tried to help him. But, you know, what we needed was a lot of people to really take that guy under their arm and help him and encourage him. That's what he needed. He wasn't getting it. He was discouraged, deeply discouraged. It's like people that can't get delivered, you know. I mean, after a while, discouragement sets in. Pretty soon, they don't know if they're ever going to get delivered. And it can be a dangerous place to be in. Well, and then in a couple of months, he was back at our church. I said, oh, you're back. And he said, yeah. I said, didn't like the Unity Church? He said, well, he said, their doctrine's all messed up. And I said, I didn't say anything. You know, no, I told you so's or anything else. I knew he'd be back. And so I said, well, I'd like to pray with you for the Holy Spirit. If you're back, you know, you're making new commitments, you're coming back, let's pray for the Holy Spirit. So we went in, and after Friday night service, we can pray for the Holy Spirit again. And this time, I was really going to push him. I was all psyched up for it. I was going to push him with everything I was worth. So we get down to pray for the Holy Spirit, the same old stuff. He's got his nose in the crack on the prayer bench. We're up in the back wall. And he's buried in there. You can't tell what's going on. Everybody lays their hands on him long distance. Nobody knows anything that's going on. I don't want him to pray that way. I want him to face us. Turn around and sit and face us. We're going to pray for you that way. We're going to find out what's going on. See, so, you know, well, you know, if he could face us, you know. See, that is the whole reason right there why this person couldn't receive. Right there. So we prayed for him. And I prayed in English for about 45 minutes, preaching to this guy. And I was praying, Lord, make him speak in tongues. Help him to see that he's got to speak in tongues. Lord, give him the revelation that he's never going to get filled until he speaks out in tongues by faith. Lord, push him on the water. Be gracious unto him. Prod him out on the water. I knew he was holding back, and I knew that he could speak in tongues if he wanted to. I mean, this has been at it for years now, and if we had just do it, get it over with, it would come. Well, we spent 2 hours that night. I mean, we were really going for it, and I could hardly get him to do anything. I couldn't get him to do anything. I mean, I was pulling him, prodding him, pushing him, stopping and saying, now listen, here's what I want you to do. Speak in tongues. Don't give me any buts. Just do it. We're all speaking in tongues. You might as well. And you know what we got that night? He wept. That was a major breakthrough. I mean, this guy was bound. It was a major breakthrough. Well, right after that, and I was determined that we were going to keep on this thing. Not let him go back to the Unity Church again. And deliverance came after that. And he comes up to me and he says, you know what? I think I need deliverance. That's why I can't get filled. I thought, wow, the light is on. It's not that he needed deliverance. He really didn't. I mean, he did need deliverance. Let me say that. But, I mean, he could have gotten filled anyway if he wanted to step through that. He could have, by an act of his will, stepped right through that demonic barrier. But he did need deliverance because he was so inhibited that he couldn't speak in tongues. That was it, all right. It was bondage. But he didn't have to yield to the bondage. See, a lot of people are bound. They speak in tongues anyway. They don't need to get delivered first. But I will admit, deliverance isn't going to hurt this fellow. So he said, all right, every day you show up for deliverance meeting, we'll lay hands on you and pray. And we promise you that we'll pray with you every time, just because we're working on this one area of your life. And we did that to people. We said, you come down, you know, anytime you come down here, we'll pray for you, just to get him down there. He came down every day for 2 weeks. Every day. He was down there for about an hour and a half in the afternoon. Good time to come. There wasn't anything going on. So I prayed with him almost every time, or somebody else did. And he finally got filled. He came in one day, and he says, hey, guess what? I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, tell me about it. He said, well, 2 days ago, I just woke up in the morning speaking in tongues. That's the truth. Just woke up speaking in tongues. That was it. And I said, well, what do you think? And he says, not only that, every time I speak in tongues, I go into total hysterics. And he went in the back, and he was right. He was in total hysterics. And but he got filled. But the thing of it was, we had to push him and push him and push him, but it came down to this deliverance thing. That gave him some freedom, enough to operate in. And then God filled him. God filled him in a rather unusual way, probably because of all that we've been through and all that he'd been through and, you know, everything else. Just for his sake, God is gracious. God knows what he's been through. Now, tongues is what holds people back in most places, in almost every cases. Some people quit as soon as they start to speak in tongues, assuming that it's not the real thing because it didn't meet their expectation. And therefore, they can never get filled. Because every time they get filled, they quit. I mean, right at that instant, they quit. And so they can never get into it. They're always quitting right at the time. They think it's them. They think that fear sets in. They speak in tongues about one word, and they go, oh, that's not it. Well, do it for a few minutes, and then let us decide. Let us decide whether that's it or not. You know, don't just cut it off so quick. I've watched people do that too. Some people are refusing to quit English. They're speaking in English so fast and so firm, they can't get filled. Not while they're speaking English. You can't speak two languages at once. So they can't get filled. They've got to quit speaking in English. Oh, I know another one they tell people to say. Say Jesus, 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 Jesus. Say Jesus so fast until you get all tongue-tied. That's not how to do it. Or just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's not how to do it. A lot of people get filled by just worshiping the Lord, and they get their eyes totally on him and off themselves. You know when they get their eyes off themselves, what happens? All these inhibitions are gone because their eyes are off themselves and under the Lord. So now they're at a place where they can kind of reach out and speak in tongues. That's what happens. And so they get their eyes on the Lord, and he fills them. What's that? Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers? Another gimmick. The person might actually just keep saying that for a while and not get anywhere. It could be real embarrassing. In other words, you need God to fill him. All this stuff is just a means to an end, when in fact there's probably a better way to get at the end and eliminate these little piddly stuff. The problem with that is that later on, after they're filled, the devil can come back and say, well, all you did is do this, instead of just by faith speaking out in tongues and letting the Holy Spirit give the utterance. Being unable to yield is the problem here. Misconceptions and being unable to yield, and fears. And that's the area that we've got to really help them in. Now, I think there are real reasons why a person doesn't get the Holy Spirit. But I think the reasons are in their inability to receive it, not that God doesn't want to give it. And sometimes we need to pray for it for a while to get to the place of where we can exercise faith, where we can yield to the Lord, where something happens to get us over the barriers that are hindering us from receiving it. Go ahead.
Nothing to do with it. You just yield, and he's going to give it to you. And when I finally was filled, there was an old Pentecostal preacher. He vanished, just putting around. He preached a sermon on faith. I was in there hollering and screaming, and he came up beside me and told me, "Shut up. Just shut up and listen for a minute." I didn't know what I, you know. And I'd been there so long that, you know, it's hard to be quiet under that teaching, you know. The noisier the better, you know. The holier you are, the more noise you make. And it was just to the point where I couldn't be quiet. I had to start praying again. And he came back the second time and told me, "Shut up." He sat right there. And it's just like I was about ready to cut loose. And he said, "No. Thank you." And I just started speaking in tongues. The exact same thing that he'd given me 3 other times before. I was so desperate. I'd take anything. I said, "Lord, this is yours for me. I'm taking it." But it was just, you know, I was waiting for him to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I was taught.
That holds people back. They're waiting for something that God isn't going to do. And so they're just waiting. Now, a lot of times they'll get over that hurdle by themselves. They get so desperate they're going to start doing something themselves anyway. And pretty soon they're speaking out. So they can get over it naturally, but we can help people over that already. There's lots of confusing instruction. When a person's praying, somebody's yelling, "Hold on, brother." Somebody else says, "Let go, brother." And, you know, there's these kind of things. Remember, the person's a total novice. He doesn't even know what "let go" means. You know, all these chapelisms. I should have brought that page. I got a list of over 200 chapelisms. Chapelisms are expressions that we use around here that have a figurative meaning that means something to us, but if you took it literally, you'd come up with the wrong meaning. Go ahead.
I had that happen to me. There's 5 of them telling me 5 different things. And I was almost ready to stand on my head. And the Lord sent them down at the end of the altar and let them work with somebody else. I believe I can get it by myself. And I did. I began to praise the Lord and I spoke out. But they were confused. Me. Hold on. Turn loose. Let go.
So this person's praying that they'll all leave. Now, see, that's why it's to be sensitive to the person, you know. And then every now and then, "How are you doing, brother? How are you doing?" "No, well, I'm doing rotten." Whoa. See, there's a lot of mistakes made in ministering to people. A lot of mistakes made. And we're going to make mistakes. See, you're going to make mistakes. But if we can keep it to a minimum, and if we can learn from our mistakes and identify them sometimes, we can correct the problem and get out. We're going to have better results if we can make fewer mistakes. That's our goal. You will make mistakes because nobody has perfect knowledge of everything that's going on. And there are times when, you know, if you do one thing, it would work, and yet you don't know to do it. They're like deliverance. You know, a lot of times it's like wading through the dark. I'm walking through the dark, you just learn as you go. And the Lord just kind of takes you through it, and you find out, and 2 hours later you're delivered, and you think, "Wow, we could have done that in 5 minutes, you know. What took us so long?" Well, God was doing something during that two-hour time block, so it's not all wasted time. God's doing something. It may have been necessary. And yet we're immature, and so we could have probably done it better when we're more immature. The more you know, the more effective you can be. It takes practice. I really encourage you to get in and start praying for people. You know, not barging, but to take the opportunity when it presents itself. Don't hold back. Take the opportunity. You will learn. It will be very good for you. And when they get filled, it will help you. You'll be edified. Increase your faith. I have to bring that list of chapelisms.
Lately, the last two or three gospel songs, we've been super short of altar workers anyway. If somebody really wanted to avail themselves for an opportunity, that'd be a beautiful thing. I mean, if there ain't nobody else going to do it, mm-hmm. You're willing to go and do it. You're begging for people.
The thing to do is to go in there and to get next to an altar worker. There are already altar workers that have had this class and know what they're doing. you need to be right with them as a backup. And if there's no altar worker, it's you. It's you. And you just pray with them and let God do it. Just exercise faith and do what we've been teaching in this class. It's a real blessed opportunity, really a blessed opportunity to pray with hungry people and to minister to people that are doing something with God rather than knock on doors and having them say, "I'm a Catholic," slam. I mean, this is a lot more exciting. Now we're dealing with a real person that's interested. But even if you don't get to pray as a backup with an altar worker and watch what they're doing. See, just watch what they're doing and listen. Get in there so that you can listen. Don't pray long distance, you know. You're 8 feet away and you're laying your hand on, you know, you don't get anything out of that, and usually they don't need you to do that anyway. The things just get right in the middle, and if you can't get in the middle, then, you know, I guess you can't get in there. But it's the same in praying for deliverance. You know, you got to be, if you're going to do anything, accomplish anything, contribute anything, you got to be right in there. Sometimes you can't be. Sometimes there's too many people. But I don't think there'll be too many people after gospel song. Usually they're shorthanded. So, and if you're praying with somebody experienced, that's a real help. Let me read you some testimonies. Oh, let me read you this one testimony. This is this guy in this book. This guy has a lot of good things to say. One day while praying with a person, this is this evangelist, in a large prayer tent at a camp meeting, there came a lady who was unknown to us and stood watching. As soon as the person with whom we were praying began to speak with other tongues, she says, "I've been tearing for the Holy Spirit for 2 years. I have shouted and praised God till I was hoarse many times." No wonder she didn't get it. "But as yet I've gotten nowhere. I am utterly discouraged and dejected because of so many trials and failures. Do you think you could help me?" I replied, "Since you've shouted so long and loud, try keeping still a while. Kneel right down here by this bench and don't under any circumstances say a word of English. When we lay hands on you, you are to R-E-C-E-I-V-E, the Holy Spirit, as he moves upon you." She at once knelt down, and we knelt down on the opposite side of the bench facing her. We then laid our hands on her forearms as they were resting on the bench, and instead of speaking a language at once, as I had expected, she began to speak one syllable over and over again. She was just speaking one syllable. Probably sounded funny. Probably every reason in the world to quit and say that's not it. She was so delighted that God had put one word on her lips, she did not stop to question what it was or what it sounded like. She just tossed it right back to heaven. With reckless abandon, she looked up and shouted one word loudly and rapidly. As I knelt facing her, watching what was happening, God suddenly brought a vision before me, to my utter amazement. Right up out of the ground beside the woman, there sprung a plant like an asparagus stalk. Now, these visions that God gives people are usually symbolic, and I'd say always symbolic, and so is this one. God is teaching him something. There were no leaves or limbs, just a growing tip which shot up about one inch every time the woman said the one word that she was speaking. So here's this asparagus stalk growing every time she says this word. In wonder, I watched this shooting up, as it were, rapidly climbing toward the top of the tent. Suddenly she spoke a second word. Now she's got two words. Instantly a limb shot out of the stalk. Then a third word brought another limb. And then a free language began to flow, and the tree filled out perfectly symmetrical. I said, "O Lord, what can this mean?" And then God spoke to me. Parentheses. I am very skeptical of these people who are always saying God told them this or that. Only a few times in my life can I say that God spoke to me. Now, this is an evangelist, a man of God. God's only spoken to him a few times. You can take it that God was speaking to him now, I'm sure. He says, "I have no doubt in saying that God spoke to me at this time." He said, "I put one supernatural word on this woman's lips, and at once she possessed it and began to use it to express her praise and adoration." How many people would have quit about that time? "When I saw that she would not stop to question, but instead she joyfully used what I gave her, I put another word in her lips. And when she did the same with that one, I added another word. During all this vision and talking, the woman was just praising away in tongues. And the vision was all there. The tree before you is symbolical of the symmetry and loveliness of the supernatural language I've given her. By this time, my delight and wonder knew no bounds. I sprang up from my knees, praising God for what he had shown me. I am sure I got ahead of God that day, not waiting for the rest of the vision, of the explanation. So he got so excited, he jumped up and started telling people, but God wasn't done with what he was telling him. During the next 2 years, I told many people about this experience and showed them that if they would use what God gave them, even if it were only a little bit, he would soon give them more. As a result, many were encouraged. 2 years later, sitting in my living room with my Bible in hand, the rest of the vision came and so forth. And let's see if I want to read this or not. Well, it goes like this. He was reading Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And it's talking about speaking in tongues. This is the rest. And he thought, if this scripture were written to fit most of the full gospel people's experience, it would read, this is the struggle wherewith you may cause the weary to struggle. You've seen all these people struggling to get filled. But it did not say that. It said, this is the rest. I rose from my chair, laid my Bible down, and started across the living room. As I was about the middle of the room, suddenly the vision appeared again, 2 years as it had been 2 years ago. Here's the woman also speaking in tongues again. And there's the tree and everything else. And the woman is in the shade of the tree, praising God in this wonderful language. And God said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And so he got the understanding was the rest was as we speak out by faith and trust in God. She'd done all that struggling and hadn't got anywhere. But when he, you know, advised her to not shout or speak loudly as she had been doing, but just receive it, that was the rest, the receiving of it, and just as God filled her. It was totally the Lord. She didn't have to do any work at all. And so then he got the rest of the explanation. And so God was teaching him that people need to enter into the rest and refreshing of the Holy Spirit and all this struggling business. I'm not saying that intercession for the Holy Spirit and tarrying and praying for it is all wrong, because a lot of that is for us. You know, a lot of that is for us, to get us in a place where somehow we can receive it. Some people can't receive it. They need to pray a while until they can receive it. And that's really what it amounts to. Let me read you some testimony. And this is only about a 3/4-inch stack. I have a great big wad of these testimonies at home. I'll probably be reading some to you again. And I've just gone through the testimony, and I've just marked the part that I want to read. This person says, they gave me a short study and we prayed. 5 minutes later, I was speaking in tongues. Well, all I can say is, why not? That's a common testimony. 5 minutes, they were speaking in tongues. When I began attending the chapel, I had trouble accepting the speaking in tongues. I had never heard of speaking in tongues, let alone seen and heard it. That is another common testimony. Never heard of speaking in tongues. Well, the person probably has a few hurdles to get over. You know, initially, fear of the unknown, sounds strange, they're afraid, and so forth. That's a common thing. Let's see here. Some of these, I don't have anything. I had no idea what kind of worship service I was in for. I soon found myself in the midst of people who were standing, raising their hands, praying and praising God aloud in other tongues. Within seconds, my mind was filled with all manner of fear, rebellion, accusations, disdain, resistance, an all-out attack of the devil. I soon contemplated the idea of leaving. Indeed, I've watched people run out. I brought a person to this church, ran out. First time in spoken tongues, just ran out. Found him in the car after the service. Just waited out there for an hour and a half till the service was over. I soon contemplated the idea of leaving. It was not until I had decided that these God-loving believers are a bunch of fakes that the Holy Spirit stepped in. God spoke to my heart with a firm and loving rebuke, said, "Don't call my people fakes." Well, that's a rather interesting one. Well, that sobered him up. I was in the Air Force, the same person. I was working the midnight till morning shift. Each night, for several weeks, I would go and lock myself in one of the bathrooms. Here, I would turn out the lights and lie in quiet darkness. So no wonder they don't get anything done in the Air Force. I would pray and ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I would also step out in faith and yield my heart and lungs to the Lord. God honored my willingness and earnest desire to be filled with the Spirit. I soon began to speak a couple of words and phrases in another tongue. As I continued to meet God in prayer and yield myself to Him, I found that this heavenly language became more and more fluent. Well, that's another common testimony. The more people yield, pretty soon they're yielding. The yielding part is the hard part. The Holy Spirit can do His part. He can give you the utterance. It's us yielding. I got another testimony for you. This is one I just heard the other day. A person, they're working on this person, and he wouldn't get saved, wouldn't get saved, wouldn't get saved, wouldn't get saved. He wouldn't attend the church. This is back in Illinois. And so, but he had a brother, and this brother didn't drive, and this brother really wanted to go to the service this night. And he said, "Well, I'll drive you to the service, but I won't go." So he drove him all the way out there to the service, and he went in, and he just sat in the car for, 2 hours during the whole service, just to sit out in the car and wait. He's not going to go in. And, the service went on and on and on and on and on. And finally, it's like late. I don't know how late it was, but he figured, I better go in there and get my brother. I mean, surely that service is over by now. So he went in there and got into the hall, and one of the leaders there that he knew, a man that he knew, I think the fellow was in his home, just came up behind him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, "What did he say? You want to get saved tonight or something? You really want to get saved tonight, don't you?" Boom. Went into tears, got saved. You never know what's going to happen. See, these bold approaches, he came right up and said, "You want to get saved tonight, don't you?" And the person wouldn't even set foot in the church, didn't want anything to do with it, and boom, just like that, he was getting saved. And we've got to do more of that. We've got to be more, a little bit more aggressive, because people do want to get saved. They do. He told me that I should open my mouth and talk just as if I was speaking English, except not to speak English. He said he would pray for me and would begin to pray in his language, and I was to pray in mine. It happened just like he said. He laid hands on me, and I of my own accord began babbling, and yet I knew something was happening. It was so easy, I didn't even know what happened. That's the way it should be. Although it's nice to know what happened. After about a half hour of praising Jesus, which I was not accustomed to doing, notice that, I managed to get out a few syllables in tongues, but wasn't sure if it was me or God. I went home and did it some more and still wasn't sure. The more I did it, the easier it got. So I figured I was on the right track. Common testimony. There's that difficulty at first. Just the unknown. You know how many devil's lies come in a person's mind at those times? I was brought up in a spirit-filled Christian home, my father being a minister. At the age of 8, I was hungry for Jesus and wanted to receive anything He could give me. I opened up my heart to Him, and He filled me with His Spirit. I remember the special feeling I felt when I began to speak in tongues that evening. It was a unique experience I never forgot. Well, it doesn't give us many specifics, but at 8 years old. I thought I had to wait until I was grown up before I could speak in tongues. One morning during Sunday school in the upper room of an old school building, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I prayed and laughed in the Spirit for 2 hours. By then, all the parents were coming in to see what we were doing so long. Let's see. 9 years old, this person was. Had a mighty experience. You get a 9-year-old to pray for 2 hours like that? I was afraid of letting the Spirit indwell me, even though I mentally trusted God. As a result, I tended to resist and was not filled that night. While praying for the Spirit again, the devil tried to fog my mind. But I stepped out anyway. Can you imagine what's going on in a person's mind? All the confusion, difficulties. I stepped out anyway and God filled me. At first, the tongues were primitive and there was still a battle waging in my mind. Then I went into a prayer room alone and just surrendered to God, wanting to touch Him or perish. It was like jumping off a cliff. The Lord met me and I was lost in the Spirit. God gave me freedom I never imagined. The presence of God was more wonderful than anything I've ever experienced. Well, he got away from the prayer session and off by himself where he could be free, and then he was able to yield. See, sometimes that has to happen to people. Sometimes you're praying for them and they don't get anywhere, but when they go home, then they're by themselves and then they can receive. After praying for about 15 minutes, someone suggested I verbalize what came to mind. That's a novel idea. What was coming to mind? You know, I mean, verbalize what came to mind. I mean, I didn't know what was coming to mind other than confusion. And the tongue started flowing. I was very excited. Let's see here. Tried to commit suicide, but couldn't get the Holy Spirit either. In other words, tried to commit suicide, later attended a service, sought the Holy Spirit, couldn't get it. A year later, at a desperate time, I prayed at home alone to receive the Spirit. The book said, she's reading this book, I should ask in faith once and then believe I had received. So I did that. I felt no great emotion. Just ask in faith and just believe. You got to speak in tongues. See, they're lacking. That's the problem. Let's see. Then later, went to another service. Through encouragement from others, my prayer language did develop. Or whatever. I don't know if I'd word it quite like that, but you know, that's what the person wrote. Eventually, I visited the chapel, was convinced of the baptism of the Holy Spirit after many long hours and late nights at Denny's. Good old Denny's. They asked me if I wanted to receive. I said yes. We prayed for an hour. God very gently and wonderfully filled me with the Spirit. Once more, I went to Denny's. This time, I was beaming and grinning from ear to ear. Well, glory. A lot of witnessing takes place at Denny's. I prayed for about 2 months before realizing that I had been filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, someone had to tell me that I had received the baptism. I didn't realize I was speaking in tongues until someone told me. I was praying for the indwelling in tongues. Now, I already filled for 2 months, didn't even know it. It's amazing, these testimonies you read. I began to get jealous because all the other kids in my age group seemed to have it, and I did not. I had to seek for it for 3 weeks. I received it at night, alone in my bed, just before I went to sleep. A lot of people receive it all by themselves. Shortly after this time, I was 7 years old, my family came to community chapel. I was exposed to the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. To say the least, I was fascinated, not scared. I think I asked for what I should do. Let's see, I think I asked her what I should do, and she told me to thank Jesus for the gift. Here's an idea. Just thank Him for it. Well, whatever works. I wouldn't use this approach directly, but, you know, by faith, you can thank Him for what He's doing. Before I realized I was filled, just thanking Jesus, I have spoken in tongues from that night until now and will continue to do so. I was in my seventh grade year when I was led to the Lord and also received the Holy Spirit. There was no laying out of hands or prayer, just believe God to fill you. I had no questions, so within minutes I was praying in tongues. They taught in that, you know, in that place that he got it, just believe and fill you and so forth. And I'm not against believing to fill you. I mean, I think we should be believing. I knew nothing about speaking in tongues. I had never been around it. Boy, what a shock. I heard different things about it from different people. I knew then that I wanted it. I prayed with another friend, my sister and brother-in-law, and a few others. I prayed before and after services. I prayed in the shower, everywhere else. Well, after a week, here comes the next weekend of church services. I got two words. I soon received a fluent language. I never cried much before, but when God came down and touched me, cried and cried, etc. Person had a real experience. It's common for people to struggle, though, receive a word or two. I knew and recognized from my experience that Spirit-filled people had a greater power in their lives, but there was a raging controversy over tongues and the authenticity of the Holy Spirit baptism. I wasn't sure I wanted to get involved. In one instance, we were all praying for a brother to receive the baptism. As people all around were praying, I heard myself speaking in tongues. It so surprised me, I stopped. That's a good way to get it. After the songs, everyone began to praise the Lord in tongues. I too found myself praising God in other tongues. Got it in church. One weekend, I went to a Spirit-filled church called Jesus People Church. I heard people speak in tongues. It scared me. For over a year, when I read the scripture, the verses on the Holy Spirit stuck out. In other words, the person had this in their mind. So whenever they read about the Holy Spirit, you know, those verses impacted them. I began to ask God for it, not really knowing what I was asking for. I was getting frustrated about not receiving the Holy Spirit. One day when I walked into my room, the radio was playing. The man was talking about not having to receive tongues when filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice this. He was preaching against tongues. It gave me a peace. Now notice, they got a peace from that false doctrine because it took away the controversy. See, they were struggling to get tongues and they couldn't get it. And now the pressure was off. Don't have to get tongues anymore. Peace. See, that'll happen. I know now it isn't true, but at that time, it took my eyes off of tongues and on seeking the Holy Spirit. I got down and prayed, telling the Lord I didn't understand tongues, but His Word says in Luke 11:13, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit than to them that ask? I'm going to believe that I've received it. Strange word came to my mind, and after 3 days, I finally spoke them. The words came to the mind, spoke them in 3 days. I was striving in my flesh to get tongues instead of seeking a deeper relationship with the Lord. How common. When I put this aside enough, God baptized me and I stammered out in a new tongue. But I had trouble turning off my English and being fluent in my new language. The problem was I had a hang-up about tongues. Was it really the Holy Spirit or was it me? Did it sound okay? Well, these are type of questions that do bring in hindrances. That person had a little trouble. This person is praying. I began praying about 9:30 and received around 10. I ended up staying in prayer till almost 12 o'clock. During this time, I found myself singing and praising the Lord with upheld arms and voice through my new prayer language. Probably never prayed more than 10 minutes in his whole life. Ended up praying for a couple hours. Common testimony. I had a great deal of trouble overcoming pride enough to yield to the Holy Spirit. But I began speaking in tongues about 3 months after coming to the chapel. Two or three brothers were praying with me after a service, and even though 2 hours passed, think of it, I wasn't aware that more than a few minutes had gone by. Since then, I have prayed in tongues every day. I began to pray to receive the Holy Spirit 2 months before I received it. At a prayer meeting one night, I received 3 words, which I began to pray. But at this time, I felt unsure about whether or not these words were from the Lord. She kept studying the Holy Spirit. The night I received, I was at church, and there was a small group of us who stayed after the service to pray. When hands were laid upon me, I began to speak, and the three words I previously had became several. In other words, that expanded. See, that was it. But it just had to expand a little bit. And of course, as they continue to yield to the Lord, it will. I already had a great desire to be filled. One night, as I was laying in bed and praying fervently regarding my work situation, I began to speak in tongues. At the time, I still had very little teaching, so I stopped and repented. Looking in retrospect, I believe I was filled that night, but I didn't know any better, so I quit. Later, the person came to the chapel. Without an inkling of God's plan for me, I came to camp meeting, caught the vision, determined to be filled with the Spirit, went and prayed by myself, and within a minute was glorifying Jesus in my prayer language. 2 days later, I drove home to another state, quit my job and school, moved out of my apartment, drove to Seattle, and started Bible college. What a way to go. The only way to go. Here's a testimony of children. And remember I said that it's important that children receive whenever they're ready. Don't wait for anything. They're probably ready before you think they are. God wants to fill them. Our daughter was praying with me before service when she was 3 and a half. I became aware of a prayer language right next to me. It was her. At the same time that I became aware of it, she looked up at me with a big, wide eyes and said, "Mommy, Jesus touched me. I have a prayer language." She has grown and matured in the Lord since that day, and she experiences His presence. She's 6 and a half now. And notice, the three got it at 3 and a half, 6 and a half. It's been doing something in her life for those 3 years. She has a security and faith in Jesus that is a blessing to our family. I was praying with our son when he was 4. My husband was on a business trip, and we were praying for his safety, not even praying about the Holy Spirit. I was impressed to lay hands on him and pray in tongues. He was bent over the end of the bed and praying very quietly. You know how children are. I felt the Spirit of the Lord, and I knew he was Spirit-filled, even though I had heard nothing. I stopped after a few minutes, and I said, "So-and-so, Jesus gave you a prayer language, didn't he?" With a look of astonishment, he said, "Yes." We both started thanking the Lord, and a torrent of words in his new language poured out. The other son, 4 and a half. This is quite a family. He has been rebuking demons of anger, disobedience, and rebellion almost daily since early summer. Concurrently, his heart for things of the Lord has expanded. He has been initiating spiritual conversations and spontaneously leading out in song to the Lord. 2 weeks ago, we were praying after supper, and there he was, praying in tongues along with the rest of us. We don't even know when he got it. So that one's 4 and a half and got it. Don't even know when. We find the children just move right into the Lord. They don't have a lot of false doctrine. Don't have a lot of fears, hang-ups. They just receive. Another testimony. The biggest question mark in my mind concerned the idea that tongues was the sign of receiving the Holy Spirit. This continued to trouble me during my year at the University of North Dakota. Every Christian I knew, except one, did not believe that tongues was a sign. I knew that my church, friends, and family did not believe that tongues was a sign. Yet I could see that they seemed to be missing something in their Christian lives. Notice the testimony of a life. Everything is against the truth in this guy's life except one person. One person's got the Spirit, and one person's telling him what it is, and one person's living it. And he can see that everybody else is lacking something. They did not seem to really have Jesus first in their lives, nor did they manifest any of the gifts of the Spirit. I wanted to know the truth about receiving the Holy Spirit, and I knew that the best way for me to find out was to go to community chapel. I flew out in March break. People prayed with me, but I did not receive the Holy Spirit. Then he went to Lutheran Bible Institute for a while. But he says, "I did that just to appease my parents." Let's see here. He's now coming to the chapel. After the prayer service on Thursday before a camp meeting, I was asking a certain person in our church about the reason for laying hands on people and who could or should do it. It came up that I wasn't spirit-filled. He said, "Do you want to receive it tonight? Why not?" I said, "I suppose." We went back to the prayer room and he prayed for me. I must have been seeking an experience or something. I knew that I shouldn't do that. A couple of strange words came to my mind, so I quietly said them. I told so-and-so I thought I was probably just making it up. After a few minutes, he told me not to say any more buts. He told me to step out in faith, seek God, and pray, not a word in English. I wanted to say but again, but I didn't. I just knelt and started to pray in another tongue. It came slowly at first, but then it seemed to click and my tongue took off. I was ecstatic. For the first time in my life, I was really praising God. I'd wanted to praise Him before, but couldn't. I was laughing, crying, praying in tongues, and I felt great. Well, this person had doubts, had problems, had things against him, but he got it. And because he stepped out, like this brother told him to do. When I prayed that night to receive and then didn't, I was sure it was a gift that was not meant for me. Common lie that comes in. It's a self-defense type thing. Who wants to admit their failure and they can't get it? See? Otherwise, I would have gotten it. Deep down, I hungered for more of God and began to study other the scriptures, etc. After Friday night service, a few of us went back into the prayer room to be prayed for. After much prayer, it looked like this still wasn't my night. But then a friend received, and when I saw the joy in her face, I just started praising God for her and for filling her. It was when I got my eyes off myself that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit also. Notice that testimony. Seeking it, getting nowhere. The other person gets filled. She starts praising God for that. She gets filled. She got her eyes off herself. That was the key thing. Getting their eyes off themselves and onto the Lord. And see, these kind of things help us when we see these things. Because then when you're dealing with a person and you can see that problem, maybe you can see it. Maybe the Lord will reveal it to you. You know, maybe God will be anointing you to say the right things to help this person. I believe that. I believe God's going to be giving you wisdom to deal with situations and to anoint things that you already know. He showed me the scriptural evidence and laid hands on me. I was scared and did not speak in tongues. As I rode home, I began to try and did. Just thought he'd try it out on the way home. And did. Well, person's now in Bible college. Let's take a 5-minute break. Good. Good. Friday night sermon, you got to listen to that. One of the best ones.
Then I've got a family that I've run into there, the Catholic Church, spirit-filled. Now they believe they were spirit-filled before they got their prayer language, as they call it. Do I necessarily need to bring to them what it is that has happened to them, or shall I just challenge them to go into a deeper?
Actually, the fact that the theology is correct or not isn't vital. What I would do is see if you can't draw them into a deeper commitment to the Lord, into our church, and into Bible studies. And then those kind of things will get cleared up. Actually, we probably don't want to bring a lot of conflict to them. You know, we teach differently than you on that. We teach differently than you on that. On everything you believe, we teach differently. Mm-hmm. In other words, the more conflict we come up with, the less likely we're going to unite with them. It's better to give them the vision that we have, and that draws them. You know, we're painting this picture of walking in the Spirit, God moving, and things are exciting, and they want that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that draws them in, and if they can see that you've got something, it'll...
They seem to enjoy it. Their mother's got some problems that we're working on now.
That's what I would do, and I'd let
them out.
The more open they get, then the more truth you can give them.
They came up with this. Well, we were already spirit filled, but we got a prayer language, so I just backed off.
It's not a crisis.
Okay.
It does not really affect their overall position anyway.
But they were excited about what they saw when they came to the chapel.
The main thing is to get them out of that Catholic church. That's the main thing.
They want to come here, but they want to go there one day a week.
That's not going to hurt them any. The tide will come. I mean, the time will come when they'll abandon ship.
Should I sign them up for orientation? Or should I just let ride for a while?
Well, as much as they're willing to do. You know, as much as they'll take if they're ready for orientation. Did you have a question, sister? Okay. As much as they're willing for. If they think that would really benefit them, that would be a good thing to do.
Trying to get him to where I could get together with my wife.